Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review.
Trainer of Champions, as we travel the world for past, present, and future stars, as we deal with the boxing news, the interviews, the legend tales, and the boxing history in our search for the past and the present and the future stars. And our radio aficionado takes us around the world week in and week out, Bob Murray. How you doing, Bob?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. Yes, I hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving as well. A little turkey day a couple days ago, so we're still cleaning out the refrigerator. But, we're ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready to go. Hey, look, Henry Haskop, who's our boxing historian here. I know that Thanksgiving hasn't been happy, forgiving, and all of that for everybody. We had a little bit of sad news. Henry Haskop's son passed of a heart attack, Henry Haskop Jr. In honor of Henry, Henry does the 9 count for so many people in boxing. And because he's our boxing historian, we love him dearly, and a heartfelt goes out to him and Joyce of the loss of their son and their family, to their family. We felt that it was just, Bob, to bring the 9 count on the show for him. So let's do that, Bob.
Okay, yeah, yes.
Yeah, Bob, the 9 count for Henry and his family, because he goes out free of charge, and we're just saddened that we had to, do that count for members of somebody in his family at this time, during the holidays. And I know it's heartfelt during the holidays when, you miss a family member like that when the Lord calls them home. But Henry is a believer in God. He's a believer in Jesus. And we know the times are hard, we can't lean on our understanding. We have to lean on the Lord's understanding. And I'm pretty sure Henry knows that through these hard times. Is that there's nothing that describes the hurt and pain of when you lose a loved one, and especially a son, a member of your family. I mean, it's just it's tough to take. But this too will end, Henry, and this too will go, and it will ease the pain. But he may be gone, but never forgotten. And we ask God to lift him into the higher heavens and forgive him of his shortcomings, because none forgive the shortcomings but you, O Lord, and please forgive him and raise him into the higher heavens. Amen, Bob. So,
amen. Yes.
There you go.
Thank you. Yeah, that was nice. Thank you, Aaron. And I'm sure Henry and his family appreciate it too. It's a shame. It was just a couple days before Thanksgiving. You gave me the ring earlier in the week. It's shocking news, but we hope everybody gets through it okay, and it's tough to move on, but we all have to.
Yes. He'll get over this at times, and he comforted a lot of people in boxing when they lose their loved ones, and we know that Henry understands, and just keep Henry strong and his family strong through these tough times.
Yes. Yeah, wow, shocking news. Wow.
Yeah. Well, Bob, what do we got around the world? Tonight's an exciting night with the Tyson-Roy Jones fighting undercard. But what do we got going around the world before we get into that?
I want to drop a couple of results from yesterday, a couple of big fights. The Zone had a big one. Daniel Jacobs, he got a split decision over Gabe Rosado. But the big news, man, coming out of Thailand yesterday was a big upset. Pania Pradabhri got a unanimous decision over Shyafan Moonsri. He's also known as Wanhang Manayothan, but he's also known as the guy who went into that fight 54-0, 18 knockouts, and that's for the WBC minimum weight title fight last night. And Moonsri had retired after his last fight, and they talked him back into coming out, and he suffered the first defeat of his career. So I just wanted to pass that along too. That happened yesterday over in Thailand. But man, 54-0, and he should have stayed retired, maybe.
That's what happens. They get drawn out because of money, and you go to the well one more time, and the well ends up being dry, and to lose and that close of a decision. So you know what happens. Mayweather comes out, he's still a man. He's undefeated. And so Mayweather's gloating and cheered and all of that other stuff that he does about his undefeated record inside the ring.
Right. Okay. All right, but yeah, anyway, big one tonight over in Los Angeles, California. The Staples Center is the venue. And, of course, it's Mike Tyson. He weighed in yesterday, 220 pounds and 0.4 pounds. Roy Jones Jr. came in at even 210, a little 10-pound advantage there for Mike Tyson. But there's also a big undercard lineup also happening. We have the light heavyweight matchup of Badu Jack. He's 22-3-3, 13 knockouts, versus the 13-0 with 6 KOs, Blake McKernan. That's the top of the undercard. But we also have Jermaine Ortiz. He's undefeated, 13-0, squares off with Suleiman Fagawa, 13-2-1. For the vacant WBC US NBC silver lightweight belt, and Joe Cusimano, 18-3, is now fighting Nick Jones. He's a late replacement. He's 9-3, 6 KOs. He's replacing Gregory Corbin, who came down with a positive test for coronavirus this week. They fight for the open WBC US NBC heavyweight title. Irvin Gonzalez, 14-2, 11 KOs, steps in with Eduard Vasquez for the WBC US NBC featherweight strap. And the internet sensation, Jake Paul, he actually has a record of 1-0 as a professional. He takes on the three-time NBA dunk champion, Nate Robinson, who's making his pro debut. Cruiserweight Hassam Rahman Jr., he was scheduled to fight Orlando Rashad Kotar, but Rahman had tested positive, and he was also a late replacement for Vidal Riley, was originally scheduled. So well, that fight has been basically canceled now, and Coulter will get a paycheck, but he won't be fighting. Also, elsewhere in the States, in Houston, Texas, the Rafael Igbokwe versus Jeff Plana. He's 8-2-1, and Igbokwe is 14-2. They fight for super middleweight clash. It closes the show. While also in Davenport, Iowa, there was action that features a heavyweight fight between Grover Young and Donovan Dennis. ESPN Plus and the UK BT Sports, along with Panama Cable Unda Sports, will all be at the Church House in Westminster, London, UK, for the 12-round heavyweight showdown between Daniel Dubois, undefeated 15-0, 14 KOs. He weighed in at 244.4 pounds, taking on the also undefeated Joe Joyce, 11-0, 10 KOs, Joyce weighing in at 258.9. And that's for the WBC Silver, WBO International, the EBU European, the Commonwealth British Empire, and the Triple BFC British titles. 5 different subtitles going off in that big fight tonight over in England. 2 10-rounders are also on the card, with Hamza Shiraz, 10-0, slugging it out with Guido Nicolas Pinto, 26-7-2, for the WBO European super welterweight crown. And undefeated Jack Catterall, 25-0, 13 KOs, El Gato crossing the ropes with Abdurazak Huya, who's 14-2 with 2 knockouts. The Jack Massey, 16-1, versus Muhammad Ali Bayat Farid, 16-1-1, cruiserweight bout, is also highlighted. Over now to Kerbach, Hessen, Germany. Now, Germany, they have extended their lockdown. The gyms are still closed, but they're still having the fights. Just checked the results earlier in the week from the fights last week. They actually had that card, 15 fights on the card. So they're still getting away with doing some fights, which is good. don't know how they're doing it. See, with Jim's closed, that's extended. But anyway, they have a card of four rounders tonight in the top half with 20-0 Mario Jossman duking it out with Alexander Kuvak, who's 13-66. Rome, Italy, headlined with the middleweight contest of Angelo Artino versus Petru Chiochiu. And back over now to South America, the Sangolquí, Ecuador, for the super featherweight fight between Julia Cortez, 14-2, and Francisco Arturo Ramirez Martinez, who's 10-2. Dicey Sports TV will be home in Buenos Aires, Argentina, to cover the WBC Latino lightweight title fight between Claudio Gabriel Danef, 10-1-1, and Augustine Ezequiel Geraldo Kutarski, 6-1-1. Argentina DirecTV will be in Junin in Mendoza for the middleweight class between Abraham Gabriel Buonarigo, 7-0, and Luis Alberto Vera, 10-16-2. Mexicali, Baja, Mexico, ends their night with Yanyo Beltran Vila versus Guadalupe Leonardo Valdez welterweight contest. And Jorge Paez Jr., 40 wins, 13 losses, 2 draws, fights Christian Solano, 28-25-4 in the super welterweight co-main event. Tauranga, New Zealand, they end their night with the Jesse Nicola versus Shea Brock middleweight battle. And a doubleheader taking place today in Eaton's Hill, Queensland, Australia, featuring Waylon Law, 12-7, versus Justin Frost, 10-1, for the country super lightweight title. Also, Luke Modini, 5-0, and Navasa Iaoda, 6-4, vying for the vacant Australia-Queensland state cruiserweight belt. And Declan Kelly steps in with Matthew Hartman for the Australia-Queensland state middleweight strap. And the earlier show is highlighted by the fight for the open Australia-Queensland state light heavyweight bout between Leo Graham and George Hooper. Bangkok, Thailand, hosts the WBA Asia super lightweight title bout between Phubathin Yongoka, 9-0, and Acharya Wirojanazunobol, 13-0. And in Tokyo, Japan, they highlight the clash for the WBO Asia Pacific featherweight crown between Musashi Mori, 11-0, and Tsuyoshi Tameda. He's 21-5-2. Osaka closes their show with the Ayato Hiramoto versus Ryosuke Nasu bantamweight contest. And we end today in Bangalore, India, for the main event with Sabari J taking on Rakesh Krishnan in a light heavyweight contest. There we go, 12 countries, actually, still with a lot of places not having a lot of action. We're still starting to see some new countries popping in, and, you know, it's there, 12 countries, not bad for the times we live in.
Oh, no question, Bob. It's showing that people are getting out there trying to get these fighters busy, get the promotion companies back going. And, hey, look, with Joyce and Daniel, the bonus, that's a terrific heavyweight fight. Joe Joyce, if you remember, he lost to Anthony Joshua, and he's, like we said, he went back to work. He's polishing off his skills, went back to the drawing board. He's up against a big fighter over there in London. If he can win tonight over there, he puts himself in a terrific position to climb back up the ladder and try to get a shot at that heavyweight championship of the world. However, he just has to do a little things better in this big fight, hand excitement and all of that better, where he can go out and put those fundamental skills. If he fights anywhere near the way that he fought with Anthony Joshua, he should come out to the victor tonight. He got to bring that kind of intensity. He got to put those kind of skills down that when he went up against Anthony Joshua, see if he polished that jab off better, see if he can stop, if he worked on stop from getting hit with right hands so much. If he could do that in this fight tonight, he'll be the victor, Bob. Joe Joyce, that is.
Yeah, good. Okay, yeah, that's going to be on ESPN Plus later on this afternoon. And yeah, that's five subtitles going at it though too, because there's a lot of belts going to be walking around that ring tonight too. But yeah, heavyweights are in the news today. Of course, this Tyson Jones thing really is going to come off tonight. So here we go. 12-ounce gloves, 2-minute rounds, but they're going to allow the knockouts to go let them fight. So that's the latest we're hearing.
Well, they're letting him fight, but you know, like we said, it's a glorified glorified sparring exhibition between two former great champions and two former heavyweight champions. Roy Jones will beat John Luis for the heavyweight championship of the world. Almost a few days short when Mike Tyson beat Trevor Burbick to become the youngest heavyweight champion of the world on November 22nd. You know, wow, how many years since 86? You know, man, that's some years again, huh? That's going way back in time, and them two to climb in at that kind of weight at 220 and some odd pounds. Mike Tyson, it's almost at the fight when he was fighting at as a young man at 54 years old. And Roy Jones, you know, coming in at 210. Hey, when he was heavyweight champion, he was around that weight then. So it shows that they have worked on putting their time in, watching what they eat and things like that, to get the weight. But when you look at them, hey, look, they do look old. However, they're old, but they do look good at that age at 54 and Roy Jones at 51. Yeah, they look old, but hey, look, their body looks good for an old guy. let's call it what it is, man. You know what I mean? The guys look good being old, you know. And now, the question is, can either one of them fight good old? It's a different style. It's a different period of time. You know, are they going to spar at the same intensity? And people say, well, why are you calling it sparring? Is because how they set the rules. You know, 12-ounce gloves, heavyweight. During regulation for commission, we're 10-ounce gloves. Anything under middleweight, we're 8-ounce gloves. And anything above middleweight, we're 10-ounce gloves. So the glove factor, since they said 12-ounce gloves, you know, 12-ounce gloves is a sparring glove. It's a low sparring glove, but there's 3-minute rounds in a normal fight with 1-minute rest. They took and got the commission to reduce it down to 2 rounds. From the 3, and what it made, these guys are 54, 51 years old, but if they come out looking good, looking youthfulness in them, and they don't look like real old men tripping over their feet, you know, huggling, dance, let me take you for the waltz, the cha-cha-cha, you know, tying up and all of that. If they come in there and they display the art and the science of their great styles of two great fighters, if they show anything near that, either one of them, they're going to bring out a bunch of conversation and people be looking for either one of them to fight one of these Anthony Joshua or Tyson Fury. So that's what we're at. You know, we have to call it what it is because so many people are asking me, is this a real fight? I said, well, if it was a real fight, they would have the real rules in place. But right. It is a sparring session, and they're not going to let either one of them get hurt because both of them are up there in age. But bless them. These two legends were able. They were a crowd pleaser when they were fighting as champion. And they showed people love to see them. Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, two legends going up against one of them. People want to watch it. People want to see it. You know, most people think it's a real fight, but it's a glorified sparring session. Let's call it what it is for the boxing enthusiast. Yes, anyone who climbs in the ring in that 4 squared, we got to tip our hat to them, give them all the praise at this age that, hey, look, they have enough guts and nuts to climb in that ring and do it at this stage of the game in their lives. And, you know, they've been eating good, Bob. You know, the steaks and in the filet mignons and all of that things and eating the finest of food, living in the best of houses, driving the fancy cars, all of that kind of things loosens you up as you get older. And
you know, like we said before, Mike Tyson's children probably challenged him, and, you know, he's showing his oats. He goes, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to show you, because they never seen dad probably fight, most of them, you know. So it gives them a chance to see it. And Roy Jones the same way. You know how it is, Bob, around the holidays, the Turkey Day, you know, when you're around the table, it's always conversate what you did, what you done, this and that with family, and everybody's laughing. And, oh, you didn't do that such and such. Well, I'll show you. Well, now both of them around the holidays get the ready to show people what they can do. Give the people what they want, champs. Hey, they got it going on, Bob.
Right, and this day was moved. Originally it was going to be scheduled a couple months ago, and powers that be, I think it was a good decision to put it over this weekend, too, with it being a long Thanksgiving weekend, and, you know, it's drawing some more attention. Plus, you have a couple of the big names on that card, too. You know, Badou Jacques is going to be headlining the undercard there, and also we have internet sensation Jake Paul against the dunk champion Nate Robinson. And, you know, so there's a couple of things going on there in that as well, plus the entertainment is lined up. So it's going to be a good card for $50 with the entertainment and the fighting. So we'll see what Twitter does with it, or Triller. And we'll get any numbers out of that anytime soon. But, you know, I'm sure somewhere along the line we'll find out next week what kind of TV we have.
Yeah, well, Bob, you know, with when you look at two legends like this, you know, Tyson, he has over, you know, close to 60 fights at 50 wins, 6 losses, and 44 knockouts. And 54 years old, man, that's a lot of fights. And Roy
right.
Jones, you know, he got over 70-some fights with 66 wins, 9 losses, and 47 knockouts, man. You know, at 51 years old, man, that's a lot of fights, Bob. But together, you're talking tonight, we're going to see two experienced vets that have, man, put it together at the statesman age, and we have our guests hanging in the queue. If you hang on, we'll be right there with you. To see over 100 and some fights, them get in there tonight to display their talent, man, this is something. And Flight TV is the pay-per-view, and what is it, Twitter? How you say it, Bob? Twitter or Triller?
I think it's Triller. Triller?
Triller,
like no eight. Yeah, like that Triller with Triller, yeah.
Yeah, all right. But with Triller and all that going on, man, right now we have, let's bring him in, Bob, the real legend. The real legend.
Yeah.
No other than that, Larry the Legend Donald. A former WBC heavyweight champion of the world. Welcome into the World Boxing Review Radio Show, Larry. How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Aaron? It's a pleasure to be on here. How you doing, Bob?
Good, Larry. Thanks for coming on, man. Good talking to you.
Oh, yeah, it's a pleasure to be on.
Well, Larry, look. You know, with all this talk going in with heavyweights and all of that, you know, with legends going on, so we figured we had to bring the real legend, Larry the Legend Donald, onto the show to talk about the fight tonight. What do you feel about this, what's going on tonight?
Well, you know, personally, I feel like it's a good it's going to be a good exhibition, you know what I mean? I really look forward to seeing this fight. You know, you got two high-class fighters with true skills. You know what I mean? It's going to really be something to see for the people because, you know, they get the best of both worlds, you know. Here it is, you got a heavyweight fighting a light heavyweight, middleweight, light heavyweight. I really don't feel that Roy is a true heavyweight, but, you know, he was the heavyweight champion of the world. You can't take that away from him.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I look at it as, you know, looking back in time when Lewis fought Khan. You know, Billy Khan was boxing his tail off, right? And
right.
Basically went in on the scorecards until he got cocky and said he was going to knock Joe out. And he moved him for the knockout, and Joe Louis clocked him. Bow, and that was the end of the story. Well, something like that happened in the night. They said, you know, Bob, the rules are no knockouts. Is that correct? Is that what they're saying?
No, they actually changed that. They're changing that, and they're allowing a knockout, but there's also going to be something about a 2-minute break in between a knockdown. So they're giving them some time to get up. So I'm not sure how the 10 count's going on that, but, you know, I guess knockout means real KO, you know, seeing stars and look it up. But, I'm not sure how that's going to be handled, as far as I know, they're going to allow them to hit hard, you know, and knockout comes.
Yeah, well, that's something to look out. Well, Larry Donald, you know, you have wins over Evander Holyfield. You beat Madison Square Garden. And also, Tim Witherspoon, you know, you have fought Riddick Bowe and them. Well, what do you feel? My understanding, someone told me that you've been getting ready for something. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I've been training. You know, like they say, if you keep yourself in shape, you don't have to get in shape. And, you know, I've been training for the last, you know, 3-4 months. Just, you know, get myself fine-tuned because, you know, I'm always looking. I'm on Facebook and all these different sites, and I'm seeing, you know, Mike Tyson, you know, getting in shape. You know, a lot of older guys, they trying to get back in shape because they want to come back and they want to fight again. But, you know, my thing is, it's not so much that I want to fight again. The young guys, I would love to fight the guys 50 and over, you know, like the Mike Tysons. Only the guys that's in shape. I don't want to fight the guys that's not in shape. I want these guys to look like they can get in there, you know. I want them to look the part. You know what I mean? I'll fight guys like Evander Holyfield, Shannon Briggs, Mike Tyson. But Mike Tyson always was one of my dream fights, along with Evander Holyfield. And I had an opportunity to fight Evander Holyfield, and I would love to fight Mike Tyson in the exhibition fight. I think that would be a wonderful fight. I think that would be like Ali and Joe Frazier all over again.
Yeah, well, you know, styles make fights, and the kind of style you got and the kind of style he got. On paper, it looks for a dynamite exhibition, no matter how you look at it. But you know, Larry, without letting too much out of the box, how you feel about tonight's fight, and what's your perspective of tonight's fight?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I see Tyson as being compassionate. You know what I mean? You know, if they get in there and fight, it's going to be a good fight. But if it don't turn out the way people think it's supposed to turn out, then if it turn out to be a flop, then, you know, it's over with for the exhibition for the older guys. So, you know, I hope Mike Tyson and Roy Jones do a spectacular job, you know what I mean? Because then, you know, that's going to open doors for the 50 and older guys. And I really look forward to getting in there with Mike Tyson. I would love to be his next exhibition fight.
Well, go ahead, Bob. You got any questions for Larry?
Yeah, we have Holyfield and Bowler talking about fighting too. There's another one, you know, this whole thing about the legends. Well, you brought up a good point, Larry, and that is that this is a big one tonight because it's kind of something new or people haven't seen before, and if it goes off well, then people like you and Holyfield and Bo and these other guys could all get in there and start doing an over 50 thing. They're legends. But
that's right.
You know, if it flops, that can ruin a lot of things, though. But would you like to have a rematch with Holyfield maybe too, huh? Take him on.
Oh, man, I would love to get Holyfield a rematch. You know what I mean? I think that would be a dynamite fight for both of us. You know what I mean? I'd love to give him an opportunity to redeem himself. It'll be beautiful.
Right.
Wow.
Okay.
So, Larry, you with something going on like this here, you know, commission in California, you know, I was saying that I believe the boxing commission has opened themselves up here with this event, with a bunch of lawsuits by favoritism and all that stuff to bend the rules, to adjust the rules, to accommodate something that's going on. And I think other people are going to try to go back into that state and challenge the commission to do all kind of things. And not to put you in that situation, but how do you feel about them adjusting the rules as a fighter?
When you say adjusting the rules, you're talking about putting
minutes,
certain
gloves, units. So the minute, the 12, they're going to be fighting in 12-ounce gloves, heavyweights fight with 10-ounce gloves, and then the 3 minutes, they move them down to 2 minutes. You know, just stuff like that, adjusting the rules for an exhibition with these guys fighting over. And, you know, to give people a little bit of history, Jack Johnson and Joe Burnett, who had fought 9 times previously, the last sparring match that Jack Johnson did in his life, he was well into his middle 60s. And Joe Burnett was way pushing 70, and them two sparred in New York. And it was something to watch. It was something to admire. As a matter of fact, even the Ku Klux Klan was there that day, because Jack Johnson said he was looking to he was happy to be there, and he was happy to fight and do something good and hope that something good came out of it for him. So it's not the first time. But go ahead, Larry. What were you saying?
Well, that might be good, because you know the fighters today ain't built like the fighters back then. You know, the fighters back then was in much better condition, and you know, with all the injuries that's going on, you know what I mean? That might be, you know, that might be hard on the guys today.
Yeah,
you know,
life was hard back then. You're right.
You know, the
life
gas
in
back,
general
back,
was
back in the.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the gas back then. You know, what I mean, they was just, you know, they bodies was put together, you know, much better, because you know, I believe because of the, you know, the process of the food that's going on in today's world. You know, we have a lot of processed food that's going on. There's a lot of stuff that, you know, that we're not getting, because back then, you know, it wasn't a lot of stuff. You know, they put a lot of stuff in the meat, you know. I mean, the food, they put a lot of hormone stuff in the food that just not right. I think it kills the body.
Okay. Yeah, the processed food and stuff like that. So, Bob, any more questions for Larry the Legend Donald?
No, but I'm glad to see that you're still working out and getting there, and we hope to be talking to you for something else coming down the road as far as getting back in the ring with one of these so-called legends, because you're the legend, my man.
That's right. Speedy Young Legend, most beautiful boxer in the world today. He talks a great deal and brags indeed of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. Someone with color, someone with dash, bring all the fight fans running with care. The bright young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight champion was once his destiny. But,
go at that one. It's hard to top that one. Bob, did you hear that, Bob?
Oh, absolutely. That was great. That was good.
Yeah. So, Larry, hey, look, we want to thank you for coming on the World Boxing Review radio show. You know, we'll try to get you back on another day.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Thank you, Ann, for having me on the radio show.
Yeah.
It's a great pleasure.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Yeah, Bob, did you hear that? Larry the Legend Donald, he's fighting at the bit, man. He, like we said before, these fighters, you see one in these top guys that are former champion and things like that up in age, they want to glove them back up. You know, once you got that spirit of fight in you, you know, you always want to do it, you know. Once a champ, always a champ, I say, and that championship spirit gets aroused in them, and they want to come back and make a comeback at it, Bob.
Right, right. And, you know, one thing I know we've always talked about, and Henry Haskell has brought it up as well, but the whole health issue, you know, as far as when you're in the ring, you know, it's a different look as far as what referees will be looking at, you know, from another fight. Versus, you know, younger guys. But when you get older, you got to start watching a little bit closer, too. So I don't know who actually is refereeing tonight. Big job to make sure these guys come out of this okay without any injuries. And, of course, that's always the thing when you get 50-year-olds and over getting in a ring and hitting on each other. You know, it increases the risk for some injury. So that's always the look that you know, we've tried to avoid seeing anything bad like that happen tonight. But in other words, let's go. Let's see it. Yeah, let's rock and roll.
Well, yeah, it's up to the commission too. You know, the commission with physicals and stuff like that. That's what all of that pre-fight stuff is for. To check physicals, to check their heart, to see if they have any injuries, brain scans, and all of that kind of stuff. HIV tests. That's what all of that commission stuff is for. That testing to ensure the safety of the boxer. You know, the boxer is the most tested athlete to go and perform than any other athlete in any other sport. You know, if you don't pass the test of who you're competing against, guess what? You can't fight. And they have waived, to my understanding, the marijuana test, which we said, let's talk a little bit about that, Bob. You know.
We know there wasn't any test as far as, you know, before the fight. Well, I guess not afterwards either, because it's just an exhibition and they're just letting it go that way. But, you know, we did look that up this week, and the big thing is marijuana is still classified as that Schedule I drug on the federal level. So even though California and a lot of other states have legalized recreational use and legalized medical use too, it's still, when it comes down to the doping, it's still prohibited. And that includes all natural and synthetic cannabinoids in the cannabis, hashish, marijuana, and all that, the natural and synthetics. It's all basically banned. So you can't really be in there, but I don't know how they're going to play it off. But, you know, but basically that answered the question we were talking last week about, you know, the legality. But once that... because of the fact that marijuana is still illegal on a national level, federal level, you know, it supersedes the actual state. So that's still, you know, something to consider. But we'll see what happens with
all the drug testing organizations that test for sports. For drugs, it's banned, and, you know, you can't use it. And if they test and they see that THC in there, oh, boy. So why are we saying this with these two bouts, with this fight going on tonight? It's about the young athlete. You know, we don't want to see a young athlete think that they can go smoke marijuana every day and then go fight. If you go fight professionally in a professional fight and they ask you to take a urine test and that THC comes up in your urine, you're going to get suspended. there ain't no ways around it. You will be suspended. You will be put on the suspension list in the commission. And, you know, with this guy who's the commissioner, he used to be down in Georgia, and why he's playing and following with the rules, bringing that MX, he used to promote fights to this commissioner. And across the board, we just want fair play. It's because boxing already had good rules. Brawl none. You've seen an athlete getting ready to fight for the heavyweight championship of the world against Anthony Joshua up in New York. New York did the right thing. He pissed in the cup. He was hot for some antibodies that growth hormones, and he's saying it was natural. The commission say it ain't, you know. So we're just saying to the young athletes or even the ones on the top, you know, don't try it and don't do it. You know, I remember Tim Witherspoon. He fought Tony Tubbs in Atlanta, Georgia. He tested positive for marijuana, and he got fined $25,000.
Wow,
and then
yeah.
He had to fight the rematch with Tubbs. Tubbs bowed out of the rematch, and it was a fill-in fight with James Bonecrusher Smith that he fought. This was Madison Square Garden too, Bob. And
right.
And he was – he didn't want to fight and didn't think he had to fight, and he had to pay all that money, $25,000 or more. And he ended up not mentally focused, not there and all that. And guess what happened? He got stopped and lost his heavyweight WBA heavyweight championship of the world. So we're just
right.
telling the athletes, hey, look, stay focused on your trade, do the right thing, train hard, eat right, so you can fight right, and so you can be a champ like this. And, you know, no one, because boxing, whether you realize it or not, is a dangerous sport. And why rules and regulations, we went over that with Henry Hathcop on the show, is for the safety of the boxer. They created rules because boxers were dying in fights with not the right rules in place and all of that, and it was becoming very, very unsafe. And because it became very unsafe, they implement rules and regulations that we've seen them deaths, even though it does happen from time to time in the fidelities of sports. It happens in baseball deaths, somebody get caught in the head, knocked in the head with the baseball or something like that, heart attacks, all that kind of things. Those different types of fatality, football, it happens, you know, basketball, it happens. So it's at a minimum that it happens in boxing, Bob. And we just
right.
saying to the young athletes, hey, look, do the right thing and learn the rules to what you're competing in, so you can fight better. One thing that we do, we make sure that all fighters that I have trained in the past understand the rules, because you have to fight in the guidelines of those rules. You know, if the rules say no low blows, you go teeing off with low blows, you're going to get disqualified. You know what I mean? So you have to understand the rule. If they say no holding the ropes, you can't grab the ropes. They may warn you a couple of times, as we have had referees on our show explain, hey, they'll give you a warning, but if you can continue to do it, they will take points. And once they start taking points, you get so many points taken in a certain amount of rounds, Bob.
Right.
If the fight goes the distance, you can't make up the points. It's too hard. It's too difficult. Only if you can knock the guy down quite a few times, it starts changing the numbers. You don't ever want to dig a ditch with the points and fouls where you put yourself in the hole that you can't get out of. So that's why understanding the rules and the regulations is the first and main thing that you do.
Right, and, you know, getting back to the whole thing about getting stoned, we talked about it before. Who wants to get in the ring and fight when you're stoned? You know, you're slowed down, everything. You know, it's like, wow, what are you doing fighting? So, you know, it doesn't make sense anyway in that regard, too. And if you're going to be a prime athlete, you know, you don't even want to think about doing stuff like that.
And yeah, they may, you know, they may see like a Mike Tyson, for instance, doing things now. But let me tell you something about Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson understood the rules and understands the rules. He's been in many, many great fights, and he trains hard. And, you know, no shortcuts to success. And when he tried to take shortcuts to his success, it showed him that there's no shortcuts. And when he tried them, he paid the price. And Roy Jones, another phenomenal athlete, I mean, who had speed in and out second to none, that was second to none. So, you know, as he works and works, we're at this point. You got two successful heavyweight, former heavyweight champions going to that attic tonight, and it just makes for something special.
Yeah, it is going to be special. I think so. And again, we hope everything turns out all right too, so that we know there's interest out there. You know, Larry Donald won right there, but we know from other people we've talked to and just from what we're hearing around that other people over 50 are looking to see, you know, very hard at what's going on tonight to see if they want to do something like this too. Is you know, if it's something that could happen, especially if it's successful tonight.
Yeah, and does that, does this legend league that they're talking about, you know, if it's bad and if people don't like it, is it a killer to the legends league? Do they kill it and say, ah, this ain't the legends league? That's a bunch. It ain't gonna work. It don't look exciting to see two older guys fight. You know, it just ain't a fight, you know, this and that. So you got a lot of that conversation going on, too, you know, in the world that people are saying, hey. But talk a little bit about the where people can tune in, Bob, and the price of it in different places. There's different price structures, different parts of the world, I believe.
Right. We know it's $49.99 here in the U.S. for as dollars for the thriller, and we said it's Fight TV. I believe that's going off at like £19 over in England. But yeah, your best bet is to go to Mike Tyson's site. I know they're the ones that have tickets or access or whatever. You could pay through his site too, which is Tyson on Thriller. Again, that's T-R-I-L-L-E-R, Thriller. So yeah, it's again, we'll see how that happens. But you know, one more thing too. Speaking about the Legends League, you know, this is the heavyweights going at it too. So you have to look and see if there's going to be any trickle down too. Maybe some of these old middleweights and lightweights might want to get back at it and you know, recreate some of the old magic too. So again, a lot riding on it.
Yeah, there's a lot riding on it, but you know, you have the undercard that's on this with different fights. So we have to take a longer who we wanted to see was Jake Paul, the internet sensation. We want to see what he does, you know?
Right. And we really have no idea what Nate Robinson is like too, as a boxer. So we know he can jump. You know, I don't know if we're going to be able to jump out of the ring or not, but yeah, you know, with Jake Paul, this is going to be interesting because he created his name and his brother too, Chris Paul too. You know, got to mention him too. The two of them kind of took the internet by storm, and you know, that's going to be a big draw for tonight's pay-per-view audiences to see how many people tune in and just to see him. Again, a lot of good entertainment coming on the show too. I guess it's going to be in between rounds, or I mean between fights. So I'm not sure exactly how that schedule is going to play out, but it's going to be a big long night. I believe they're looking at maybe like a 6 hour of event too. So for your $50, that's a good night of watching. I believe it's starting at 6 o'clock here on the mm-hmm. On the East Coast. Yeah. So you'll be finishing up around midnight. So yeah, that's another big part of it too. But you know, we also have to be concerned here. We had two positive tests also come out of this this week too. You know, we talked earlier when I went around the world when Cusumano was going to fight Corbin, and Nick Jones had to step in late here for the for that fight. Corbin tests positive, and Rocklon Jr., the son of the former champion himself, he was to fight Coulter, and he tested positive. He was also a replacement for Vidal Riley, who had a step aside, too. So, you know, that virus is still hanging out there and still, you know, wreaking havoc. And again, you know, like I said, just late-minute cancellations, and they couldn't really get anybody in to fight Coulter because that just happened yesterday. But, yeah, so we're looking at three different, you know, fighters' names have been tossed in there already, and just hope that everybody comes out of this again safe as well because of the coronavirus. It's still there, and I mean, we talk about it every weekend. Its numbers are still steadily rising. So we just hope everybody stays safe there too.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. And you have a former WBC champion, Bayou Jack. He's fighting. Now, did they change his guy?
No, he's still fighting McKernan. He's still fighting the undefeated.
That fight, because I think that's going to be a pretty good one. The way Kernan is talking, he's letting it all hang out, man.
Jack
is ready. Like he said, Kernan said, I have everything to gain and nothing to lose. He said
right.
that he's going. Bayou Jack's going to have to show me that he can fight and that he's better than me, because I'm going. He says I'm coming to take it all.
Right.
Oh, boy, I said, boy, that sounds like a rough night. So, Bayou Jack better be ready.
Right. Yeah. And again, yeah, that's some wild things going on also with that other fight, too, in the UK. You know, we're looking at some of the big names fighting over there, too, like Catterall. You know, he's another big guy that's coming up as far as, you know, we got 25-0 record for him. He's facing Hoya tonight. And, you know, those fights over there in England are something to watch, too. So it's one of those days where, you know, for boxing fans, you just go sit around and watch some fights all day long, get a little entertainment in between, and see how else everything is going, you know, and just sit back and enjoy tonight. But, hey, before we go, we got a few minutes left in the show. I wanted to touch a couple more pieces of news. It's kind of not surprising, but the 2020 USA National Championships for the amateurs, that's postponed until at least the first quarter of next year. That news is right out of Colorado Springs. And, again, we kind of figured that they were going to probably postpone that. But the other big news is that Triple G's back, and he's going to be fighting. It's going to be a DAZN show on Friday, the 18th of December. It's the IBF mandatory middleweight fight against Camille Cerameda. They had been scheduled prior to the whole coronavirus thing, too, but we're going to get to see Triple G coming back, and Alvarez is coming back, too, and, you know, some of the other fights that are happening in the next month or so, you know, Joshua getting back in there in a couple of weeks with Pula. So, you know, we got some other good stuff on the horizon as well, too.
Yeah, Bob, when you talk about Triple G, even the promoters coming back, Golden Boy, after losing Canelo Alvarez, he says he's climbing back in the ring, and De La Hoya is saying at his age, he says he can beat Triple G, and he wants to fight him.
He goes, oh, look, and in that legend league.
Yeah, in that legend league. Hey, if you can't beat him, you join him, climb in the ring and go to boxing. But, you know, that's something up in the air. That they're looking or trying to do with that. And when you talk about
Amateur, but anyway, just one last thing, that Triple G fight actually is the day before the Alvarez fight, too. Just he'll be fighting on Friday the 18th and Alvarez against Smith, Callum Smith, on the 19th. So you get to see, you know, one after the other, bang, bang. So that's something to look forward to.
Well, one thing, it will be battles to see who's the biggest draw. I do know that.
Will
Canelo Alvarez be the one who ratings are the highest, or Triple G? I'm betting on Canelo Alvarez.
Yeah, I would too.
In that ratings war, Bob. But, you know, like you said, with the Olympics being canceled this year, and hopefully that they can get the Olympics going in 2021, the tournaments for amateur boxing, with all of that being canceled and stuff like that, with these young guys, man, we just hope they can get going
if you can give some support to USA Boxing as they go through these tough times so they can keep on doing these tournaments, you know, with people not having crowds, you can get funds in. And it leaves amateur sports in a tough situation without a crowd that, you know, pay to get in. So everybody's at tough times. If you got a little extra laying around, man, send it over there to the sport, support them young guys and keep youth going and keep them off the street, keep them headed in the right direction. That's what we all the time say. And, you know, a little bit of support helps all that out.
Right, and again, the young fighters keeping their heads together too, as far as realizing the unprecedented times that we're in here for all of us. And I know this is something new to all of us, just because you're young and this is happening. You know, we've never seen this kind of thing before in our lifetime either. So I think, you know, the focus, like you're saying, keep the focus, keep training. And the first quarter of 21, we're talking, well, maybe March. But, we have to see where this virus goes from now until then. Vaccines are around the corner. We know that. But, you know, that's still getting them out there and getting distributed and everything else going along with that, too. But we're hoping that we do have the Olympics. I mean, Tokyo's still going ahead with it. They're looking forward to it next summer. So hopefully we'll have the USA boxing team make a strong showing in the summertime in Tokyo.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with this time, it makes fighters hungry. And like we said, there's going to be some people lose that you didn't think you're going to lose during this time because gyms are closed. They can't go prepare right, and they got to do stuff at home and, you know, makeshift gyms outside where they're hanging heavy bags on the tree, doing road work, hitting heavy bags outside, you know. So, you know, a lot of people are adjusting their training regimen to deal with the circumstances, and some don't want to go in the gym afraid of getting corona. We have all of that going on, but we come back to the night, Bob. Training was going on somewhere, and Bob, you know, I'm excited to see two guys climb in the ring like a Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, two of the finest legends out there climbing the ring and going to match their skills up against anyone, but I pray that no one gets hurt, that no one gets hurt tonight, and that we see boxing, the senior legend league at its best. And if they can climb in there and give the best that they got tonight, we'll truly see something special. But with Mike Tyson, you're all the time going to see something crazy happened. We don't know what the craziness is going to be, but something crazy going to happen, Paul.
Tyson said he's going right after him. So, that's his latest from the press conference and the weigh-in last night. He said, I'm going right after him. So, 2 minute rounds, I think they're both going to, we always talked about that too. 2 minute rounds, Mike's favorite Tyson a little bit because he's the stronger puncher. And Jones likes to play around a little bit, use the whole 3 minutes. So that might give Mike a little bit more of an advantage. But he said he's coming right at him. Told Jones, here I come. Let's see what happens.
This one makes a great event. Makes a great thing for an exhibition sparring session like we're going to see tonight. So tune in. That's all I can say. It's going to be truly, truly, truly special to see this here. Probably we're going to get some laughs in the whole thing. You know what I mean? But, there's going to be moments of laughter, too. You know, so let's hope that no one gets seriously injured tonight, Bob.
Exactly right. But we'll be watching and we'll let everybody know where we think next week. So,
We want to thank you for tuning in. Time goes fast, Bob. We want to thank everybody for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. And our radio aficionado took around the world again this week. Hey, man, great coverage, Bob. 13 countries,
over there in England about going on, man. That Carberite came down right back in the United States with the belt tonight. Thank you, Bob, our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. And our prayers, our condolences go out to our boxing historian, Henry Hascop. Tune in next Saturday for the World Boxing Review Radio Show.
Bye-bye.
Bye.